Now, there's a man called Jack O'Rourke, and he has a song at the moment called Opera on the Top Floor. And we're curious about it, and we think it's wonderful, but I've had my dealings with this young man before, because he had an album called Dreamcatcher back in the day. First off, then, can we have a little Shining for You from Jack O'Rourke? I think we can.
Stand tall, crash, they fall one by one. Laughter turns sour in pursuit of your harm done. Tomorrow comes creeping, your bones are struck dumb. Walking full of bravado, but your eyes weigh a ton. But I'm shining. Life that gave you your cue, losing sight of what matters, fawned over and flattered, and clothes for the emperor, like in your view. But I'm shy.
Now, that's Shining for You, which comes from an album called Dreamcatcher from a long time ago. Well, 2016, Jack O'Rourke responsible for it, and he's in Ovens in County Cork. Jack, good morning.
Good morning, Marty. How are you?
I'm not bad at all. That was a Marty Recommends back in the day.
It was, yeah. You brought me a great audience, I have to say. So
six, seven, eight people, was it? Hopefully they all turned out.
A bit more than that.
I hope a few more turned out. Listen, good morning to you. I better check a couple of things with you, because you've been releasing stuff anyway over the past while, over the past years, and you quite like where we take the program, I believe. You quite like the fact that we don't seem to know what we're doing, which is really the truth.
And I consider it eclectic. I'm a teacher by trade, so
when music I'm not, teacher
and music. Music in English, yeah. Oh. In a school called Gwilcolostivur and Vanister Huig, it's in Cork City.
Right.
And I listen in to you most mornings going in, so
God
it puts me
you.
In a good mood, you know.
Right.
Hearing Wagner going into Aretha, and it's cool, you know.
It is true.
I like the mix.
Yeah, well we've kind of this is a road that we travel, and I love the road, you know, because I think it means that it also means that you don't know necessarily what way it's going to go. And I think that's quite nice, you know. I think it's
wonderful
with music, you know. And I mean, in terms of your music, somebody told me, is this true that you call yourself chamber folk? Is that what you call yourself?
Back in the day, yeah.
He's looking for a new tagline. Chamber folks. It doesn't even make sense. And yet, funnily enough, I kind of know where you're going with this. It's because we're all influenced by everybody, aren't we? I mean, you teach music, but you're a singer-songwriter. This is what you do. And therefore, you take influences from everywhere. You also play other instruments as well, don't you?
I do. Well, I'm mostly a piano player. I went back to kind of 80s pop on the last album as an influence. So there was a lot of synthesizers. And I played clarinet growing up, and I dabble with guitar, but I'd like to get better. But yeah, absolutely. And that's why, you know, genuinely, I love your show, because I'm very eclectic in my taste too. These new songs are kind of folk based, I suppose. They're ballads, they're stories, and lyrics are very important to me. And I've always loved, you know, string arrangements, so I'm kind of married the two together, so it seems to work anyway.
Well, you're my man. I love the fact, we played Elbow the other day, Guy Garvey and Elbow, and the track called Magnificent, which is a wonderful song, and you hear the song, but it's basically a rock band, and then these strings appear, and it just takes you off somewhere else. Now, he's a great lyricist, in fairness, Guy Garvey. He's a genius lyricist. He really is. And it's things like, and you're right in there. That's what you strive for. It's what you achieve. It's what you do. So, well done you.
Yeah, I grew up listening to a lot of, my parents kind of raised me on great lyricists, you know, from everyone from Leonard Cohen to Joni Mitchell to Paul Simon to Randy Newman. So I think stories were always important to me. You know, I think that's where it starts, always with the lyric, you know.
And also in terms of the Irish, we all love a good story. We all love
a
good yarn. Yeah, but stick that to music and suddenly you've got a whole other thing going on, you know, which is amazing.
It does, and absolutely, and even the relationship, you know, sometimes I'll start with the lyrics and I'll be amazed what chords, you know, end up with it or melody. I think one kind of follows the other, or one inspires the other, and it's kind of a duality all the way through.
Yeah, that is what it is. But there is a song that you had out called I'm Not Waiting with the orchestra. Would you give us I think it's fabulous. Would you give me an introduction to that? I'd love to play it before we get into the thing that we want to talk about particularly. But
I'd love to.
Talk to me about I'm Not Waiting, will you, just for a sec?
I'm Not Waiting is actually a track I sang on with an incredible artist called Freezer Room, who were made up of two people, Graham White and Rory. I can't remember Rory's second name, he's going to kill me, but they're kind of they're kind of electro electronic pop, I suppose, for use of a better word, and they worked, their last album they did was kind of a little bit less you know, Berlin at 2 o'clock in the morning, so they wanted some singers, and I got on board, and Wallace Bird and Tracy Kay and a couple of others. And it just turned out really, really well. It's a lovely track, and the strings in it are beautiful, absolutely.
Again, here we are with the strings again. Isn't that funny?
I must mention Joe. Joe from Fred is singing lead on that. He's a fabulous singer.
It is. It's a gorgeous piece. This is it. I'm Not Waiting.
We wait the game that we can wait to be done with this. Field of answering, all that keeps coming to the fore.
I just needed to hear that. Hope you don't mind, Jack. It was just one of those things.
No problem.
Good man. Now, the other thing I want to say to you is that you, of course, but we mentioned Dreamcatcher at the top. Didn't you play that with an orchestra in Cork some time ago?
I did, yeah. Yeah. It was an incredible opportunity in 2000 and I think maybe 18. The Opera House got in touch with me and they put together this incredible festival called Right Here, Right Now in association with Collins too, which is an amazing little light music venue in Cork, acoustic music mostly. But yeah, they put together an orchestra and they said, do you want to play your debut album with an orchestra live?
Oh,
and I said, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was incredible. John O'Brien, the great John O'Brien, did the arrangements and it was just incredible. I had my band with me and it was... I suppose in the vein of as you say, Elbow and kind of Peter Gabriel, you know, it helped.
Well, that's right. I mean, well, Jack L has done it with the RT Concert Orchestra.
Exactly.
I think it was the Royal Philharmonic Elbow did it with. It's a fantastic, it must be an incredible feeling as a musician with your songs being played by a full orchestra. That must be just beyond compare for
it
a songwriter.
It was emotional though in the night, you know. I probably had a few beers to muster up Dutch courage, but yeah. It's the songs take on a different life too, you know, with all of those interweaving melodies, and you know, I read before Sinatra heard things and he said in his head often with songs, but he couldn't notate them, and I read and write music, but I wouldn't be to that level. So it's wonderful when someone like John or you know can just take those ideas somewhere else.
I presume it exists as a recording, does it?
It does. It's locked away in the vault somewhere.
Well, get it out.
There is a video. There is a video on YouTube of me doing "Shining for You" with that orchestra.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
I just think things like that that shouldn't be locked away from the rest of us. We should all have a chance to go about it. Now, listen. This piece of work that you've done, Opera on the Top Floor. You've gone full tilt now, haven't you?
Yeah, I've gone right back. Yeah, back to the piano.
this is quite something. It really is. It was released last Friday.
Yes, on the 11th. Yeah.
So tell me all about it.
I suppose in lockdown, like a lot of musicians and songwriters, I was teaching from home too. A lot of my mates found it hard to kind of write, but I started, I suppose, with that song. I played a really amazing pub in Listowel called Mike the Pies.
Oh, yes, I've heard. And the owner, very famous.
It's wonderful. And the owner there, Aidan, is a great supporter of Irish music. He's had me and Emma Langford, and he gave the Stripes, the rock band, their first gig, and he gave Fontaines D.C. their first gig. So he just loves music. You could talk to him about Morrissey and the Smiths for an hour. But after the gig,
couldn't.
No, no. This charming man. But yes. He brought us up to the top floor and of the pub, and he said, my uncle Michael used to run this place. You know, he was a quiet man, he described him, and I was just amazed at this room in the attic. It had vinyl and CDs of opera, huge collection, and classical art. And Aidan kind of said, look, he was a man of his time, and he was obviously very creative and artistic, but he kept this kind of side of himself hidden,
right.
Kind of secretive. And it just really struck me, what a story, you know? It was kind of like... I read before that around the time I wrote it, John Prine had died, and he read the newspaper every day for kind of mad stories, and I just, this really resonated with me. And I started writing from the perspective of what I thought Michael would have felt like, you know. Right. In one sense, there's a sadness that he, you know, maybe couldn't share that with his mates, but on the other side, he had this sanctuary in the attic, which is, you know, a beautiful thing.
But I love the publican by day, artist by night, the fact that he had this secret world upstairs. Did he?
Exactly, yeah.
And who did he share it with, do you know?
I think with his family, and he made posters eventually, I think in his later years, for different festivals around Listowel. Obviously, there's a lot of them with the incredible, you know, creativity there.
Yeah.
But just the story really resonated with me, and, you know, I thought of him going up there and putting the vinyl on and the needle on the vinyl and listening to Callas or Pavarotti or whatever.
Sure, it's a lovely idea.
The song was kind of born, you know?
Yeah, and what did his nephew think when you played the song to him?
He called me, he said, "Go away, you fecker." He said, "You're after making me cry." So.
But isn't that wonderful? This is Aidan now, who runs Mike the Pies. Isn't that wonderful that he felt that?
It is.
That the emotion that you brought.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as well, it's a very individualistic story, but it's so universal, I think, to all of us. We all have, you know, parts of ourselves that we don't share for whatever reason. And I think, you know, it was the first song, and a lot of songs were, like, I wrote a lot of songs after it, but I'd writer's block for a while, so that was the catalyst, I think, so it was cool.
Anyone I've ever come across who says that they had writer's block, be they authors or songwriters, it's very frightening, by all accounts.
It is, but it usually means you're happy.
Oh, does it? There's no angst to share.
I think so. Well, right. I tend to write when I'm kind of angsty, you know, but which is a bit of a cliche, but
yeah.
you need a bit of misery, you know.
I suppose you do, yeah, to bring it out, and then we all relate to it, you see, even though we can't articulate it the way you can. Listen, in terms of dates and stuff, what was that I was reading about you in Paris? Are you connected with Paris in some way, some venue over there?
I wish I was, from a jeans point of view, but no, I am. I just very luckily applied for residency. They have residencies in the cultural centre at Irlandaise, which is this beautiful old monastery that was set up by Irish monks, I think, in the 15th century.
Right.
And they have many. I've played there once. Myself and Roisin O did a gig there before, and I loved it. And they have residencies where songwriters and artists and playwrights, whatever, can come over and stay for a month and write, and they put you up and pay your way. So
interesting.
I was lucky enough to get one of those residencies. So it'll probably be happening in 2022, you know, when we're out the other side.
That's a great thing, isn't it?
Oh, it was great. It gave great booster. You don't expect these things ever.
I know.
So when it happened, and there's a lot of paperwork and filling out of forms and... But we got there.
Oh, well, you'll be jabbed to the nines before you go as well. That's very important.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's no other way to go. Well, listen, so I take it Opera on the Top Floor is the beginning of releases, or the beginning of a nod and a wink in the general direction of a new album, is it? I presume it is.
It is, yeah. So I'm recording an album actually in the Triskel in Cork City. It's nearly done. They very generously gave us the space in this beautiful old 200-year-old Steinway.
Yeah.
So I went in, ironically, with my drummer, Davey, to record these first songs, and Davey said to me afterwards, he says, "I'm not putting drums in any of these tracks." So,
did he?
A selfless drummer. He's a great recorder too, but he just said, "No, let them be as they are."
So he talked himself out of work. That's a very, very...
There you go, yeah.
Man. He's some mate, I tell you. He's some fella altogether.
I know.
Oh, and listen, Opera on the Top Floor is the first one. Do you know when this album will be heading our way?
I'm hoping in October or early November, because I'll probably be able to tour it then, you know, which I really look forward to.
Yeah. And hopefully there'll be TV opportunities as well as radio, which would be great. Everybody needs that, as you know, because, you know,
absolutely.
You were on Other Voices. These things are important. It's important that you have a chance to be out there and to be seen and to be heard, do you know? Well, listen, we'll keep playing you, Jack. And I have to tell you that Opera on the Top Floor is a gorgeous piece of work. It is truly, truly fabulous. Oh, no. You see, it's the story it conjures up, but also the writing, the music is top class. It really is lovely. No, I'm just telling you the truth, my friend. So listen, keep the faith, and we're going to play it now to play us out, Opera on the Top Floor. And keep well, and we'll talk again. Hopefully you can come in and maybe sit with us one of the days when we're all allowed.
I'd love to do a live session with you.
Yeah.
Before I go, can I thank Ulton Conlon? Yeah, I know you're a fan.
Oh, I love Ulton. He's a wonder.
Yeah.
Tell me why you're thanking him.
He's just a great mate. He said, you need to get in touch with Marty, so there you go.
You see, the thing about Ulton, do you know what I'm going to tell you? He's a selfless fella.
Because,
with all due respect to everybody, he and I'm please state this the right way, but lots of people it's all about themselves. He has this innate ability to think about other people who might need a leg up or might need an introduction to somebody or whatever. He's got this lovely way about him. I think he's a very special fella. He really is.
Songwriter.
Is he what?
We actually recorded a version of I Drove All Night, which I'll send on to you, by Roy Orbison, together. So we're thinking of maybe working on some tracks.
That'd be great, well, he can, more than yourself, he can rock when he wants to as well, which is quite impressive, you know. Drive All Night's a great song. It's a fabulous song. Listen, keep well. Our best to Ulton, obviously. But Jack, Opera on the Top Floor to take us out today. Stay well, and we'll look forward to the album.
Thanks so much, Marty, for having me.
My pleasure. God bless you. Take care.
Fair boa.
Blast from a jukebox. The lads I grew up a play a guitar, conjuring youth. Hunched at the bar, I hear dreams that turn to dust. Till I ring out for last call. A pint takes a minute to settle. The creamy head rises and lands like a chorus of hum. Regulars catching my eye to change their tune, but I ain't a conductor. I got opera on the top floor. Violins cry and arias explore. I'm riding with those Valkyries too. Got my own Valhalla in this store. The boy who sing Elvis and Skiffle, perched with their porter like vulture chicks waiting to hatch. The races and darts don't soothe the soul. I'm a fish out of water. A child of Prague's beady-eyed judges. He might blow the whistle if my world collided with theirs. After the final, John gave us a drunkenness and dormant. And for once I felt kinship. I got opera on the top floor. Violins cry and arias explode. I'm riding with those Valkyries too low and grim. I've got my own Valhalla in this store. And that opera on the top floor. It's under lock and key.